Well, good morning. Let me pray for our service this morning. Father, we commit our lives to you. We thank you this day for Jesus, most of all. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, you know us, you see us. You want to come into our lives and begin a work of transformation. And I pray that for every person who's here this morning. I pray for those who this day is a hard day. I pray, Father, that you would give them grace. Maybe those who have lost a mom, and I pray that they'd find comfort in the hope of Jesus. And I pray for those who maybe would want to be moms but struggle with that, and I pray that you would give them hope and a good word from you. I pray for those whose relationship with their moms is not what they would want it to be. Lord, may you give them clarity and encouragement and a sense of your understanding in their lives. And I pray for every mom here, Father, that you would bless them in a very special way. They may see how you see them, and they're significant to you, and they matter to you, and they matter to us. And I pray, Father, they'd be blessed. I pray that you would bless every woman here with the grace of Jesus Christ. Bless every one of us as we're here to worship you, Lord. May we find your presence with us and be strengthened and encouraged. And I pray that you'd use your word today to give us a message that would move us forward in our journey with you. I pray that you'd complete the work that you'd began in us. And I pray for anyone here who doesn't yet know you, that the hope of salvation would fill their lives. Jesus, you're the Savior of the world. You're the head of the church. You're the reigning King. And we ask you, Jesus, to speak to us this morning in a way that captures our hearts and our souls and our minds, and we surrender our whole lives to you for your greatest glory and our greatest joy. I pray for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here at Crossline. Thank you so much for being here, especially if this is your first day with us. We value you. We're glad that you're here. We want to say hi to you, by the way. And if you'd fill out that tear-off portion of your bulletin, take it to the Connect booth out on the patio. We have a gift for you, and the pastors will be outside afterwards. We'd love to be able to meet you personally. And thank you for being here. We start a new series today. And so you've come at a good time to begin something new that will help us all in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The title of the series is Rooted. Rooted. And the theme verse is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and being established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and be overflowing with gratitude. This is a great passage because it reminds us that God wants us to be built up. God wants to establish us. God wants our lives to be overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness. Jesus wants to fill us with an abundant, overflowing, fruitful life, every one of us. And according to the scripture, which is the theme for this series, Rooted, that overflowing life, that abundant life, is built upon having been rooted in Christ. Now, there is a sense in which every person who trusts in Christ, the very moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we are rooted. But there's another sense in which we are to seek God so that our roots go down deep into him. And for the person whose roots are going down deep into Christ, there is the promise of God that there is a fruitful life that is produced out of that relationship. There's an overflowing life that God produces for us when we're rooted in Christ. And the key to being rooted in Christ is to practice the spiritual habits and disciplines that connect us with God. So it's a divine logic. If you want an overflowing, fruitful, abundant life, you've got to be rooted in Christ. And to be rooted in Christ, you have to practice the spiritual habits and disciplines that really connect you to Christ. And so that's what this series is all about. And Rooted is an acronym. So R stands for read God's word daily. The first O stands for obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. The second O stands for offer to God your prayers and praise. The T stands for tithe, the first of your income. The E stands for enjoy the fellowship of God's people. And the D stands for declare your faith in Christ boldly. These are the spiritual practices that are going to root us in Christ. And having been rooted in Christ, we're going to overflow and be established and be built up in Christ. So let's get started. The first concept or the first idea, the first spiritual habit is reading God's word daily. Reading God's word daily. And by the way, this spiritual habit, as with all of them, they are accessible to every one of us. We can do it. It's not just for the super spiritual. It's not just for the missionaries. It's just not for the pastors or the elders of the church. This is for every person. We have, because we've been created in God's image, and because as new people in Jesus Christ, we have Jesus living in us, every one of us can access these spiritual habits that will root us in Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God is giving kind of his covenant to his people, and he makes these covenant promises of blessing. And he says, this word from God, it's not so far off that you got to go up into heaven to get it. It's not so far off that you got to cross a sea to get it. It's right here. It's right here in your mouth, and you can take hold of it. God's promises to us, God's offer to be rooted in Christ, and the spiritual habits and disciplines that make that possible are accessible to us. So we can get into God's word and have the power of the word transform our lives. I can tell you that just from my personal experience. I grew up, as many of you know, in a non-Christian family, not religious, didn't hear about God, didn't go to church, didn't have parents who prayed for me, none of those spiritual influences that have blessed many of us, have blessed my children. But when I was 16, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and maybe 2 weeks after I'd become a brand new follower of Jesus Christ, I told my older brother that I'd become a Christian, and he bought me a Bible. It was a living Bible, a living New Testament. I still remember it. It was paperback, green cover, the living New Testament. And he said, you ought to read this every day. And so I would, as a junior in high school, the end of my junior year, I'd read a chapter in the Bible. I started with Matthew chapter 1. You know, good place to begin is the beginning. So I had the New Testament, so I read Matthew chapter 1. And pretty much every night, I would read the Bible. Now, sometimes I remember what I read, sometimes I didn't, sometimes it put me to sleep, sometimes I really enjoyed it, but I just kind of started doing it. And by the end of my senior year, I'd completely read through the New Testament. And I was going off to college, so I bought a new Bible. It would happen to be a New American Standard version of the Bible. And I didn't know anything about, you know, Bible study plans or how the Bible was really put together. I'd read through the New Testament in the Living Translation. I decided I should read through the Old Testament. There's two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. I read the New Testament, I should read the Old Testament. So I opened my Old Testament and I counted the pages and I just thought, okay, between now and when I start college, there's this many days. How many pages a day would I need to read to have read through the Old Testament before school starts my freshman year in college? And I figured out if I read 10 pages every day and I stuck to that plan, I could read through the Old Testament. So that's what I did. And I did it. So now I'm brand new freshman in college. I had read through the New Testament and I had read through the Old Testament. Now, I would say I was starting to get established in my faith. I knew that I want to follow Jesus with my life. I understood I was a Christian and I was following Jesus. And God's word was helping me know God and grow in my relation with God and give me direction to follow God. So then I said, okay, I've read through the Old Testament, I read through the New. How about if I do it again? And I figured out if I read 5 chapters a day, again, I was going off pages. I wasn't thinking about chapters. If I read 5 pages a day in the New Testament, I could read it through in 2 months. And if I read 10 pages a day, I could read it through in 3 months. So every 2 months, I read through the New Testament. Every 3 months, I read through the Old Testament. Every 2 months, I read through the New Testament. Every 3 months. I did that for several years. So now I'm about 20 years old in college, and I have already read through the Bible 10 or 12 times. I keep doing that. Then I start learning about Bible study and scripture memory and other Christian books that can help you grow. And I was being discipled through Crew Campus Crusade for Christ. And my Christian life and the trajectory of my Christian life was forever changed. You see, that's why, even as we were talking about this in Sermon Collab, Pastor Jordan brought it up to me and said that I have shared this, and I have shared it many times, and I'll share it again. The single most important spiritual habit that I've ever developed to help me grow as a follower of Jesus Christ is reading God's word daily. It's simple. This is part of being rooted in Christ, and we can do it. And we can do it. Let me just walk through several passages of scripture to kind of paint a picture, to give a kind of biblical understanding of reading the Bible. All right, Psalm chapter 1. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. The psalmist is describing the person who prioritizes the word of God in their life. They delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. And because they delight in it, and because they meditate on it, they're compared to like a tree that's by a riverbank. Its roots are growing down deep, and as a result, the tree is green and flourishing, and it bears fruit in its season. That's the person who gets into God's word on a regular, daily basis and reflects on it and hides it in their heart and does what it says. And the imagery is important. I mean, we don't have a lot of big rivers around where we live here, but we do have creeks. We even have a lot of dry creek beds. But you can go out into even our little mountains around here, and you'll notice something. The vegetation is different that where it's right next to a creek versus outside. Because in the summertime, you know, everything dries up. It's green now, but in a few weeks, everything will be dry and brown, except for those plants and trees that are right by a riverbed or a creek bed, even if it's dry because there's water underneath. And because there's water underneath, the plant, the tree is flourishing and it's green and it bears fruit in its season. That's the picture the psalmist uses to describe the person who prioritizes God's word, who meditates on it every day. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said, "It's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So Jesus here in this passage is quoting from Deuteronomy 8. It's the temptation of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus appeals to the word of God. And the first scripture that he appeals to rebuke the devil's attack is this scripture that says that it's, we're more than just physical creatures. We're more than just physical beings. We need more than just food to sustain a healthy, growing life. We need the word of God. And he says, we don't just live off bread, but we live off the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's one of the dynamic things about this book. It is written by human authors, 40 plus authors, 66 books, written over 1,500 years in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Jewish Aramaic. Old Testament's written primarily in Hebrew, New Testament's written primarily in Greek. There's some Aramaic portions of the Old Testament. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, written on three continents. So there is a historical context and background to the Bible. And we know for most of the books, the actual human author who wrote it. But there's something going on behind the scenes of the human author. It's the word proceeding from the mouth of God into the minds of the human authors. So they wrote with their own literary style and vocabulary and life perspective. But what they wrote down were the actual words of God. And so we, according to Jesus here, We are to live by the word of God, and we need it for our spiritual sustenance and for our spiritual protection and for our spiritual victory. Matthew chapter 7, at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. We just came out of a series talking about storms. And here Jesus says, there is a way to have a life that sustains itself even in the midst of storms. In fact, the largest storm you can imagine could come upon this kind of life, and it will still stand firm. And what is that kind of life? The life that's built on the rock, the foundation of hearing and obeying God's word. Because one of the things Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, quotes scripture and says, you have heard it said, and then he says, I say to you. So the words of Jesus are the actual words of God, because that's one of the things that just jumps out as a meta theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is positioning himself to have the very authority of God when he speaks and teaches on something. So more than just a prophet or a religious teacher, Jesus is God himself, God in human form, giving us the words of God. And he says, if you hear his words and you build your life on not only hearing, but actually obeying his words, you're going to build a life that will withstand any storm. Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives a story. He says, the sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So Jesus says the word of God goes out and it is sown in four soils, and the soils represent the human heart. And he says some people hear the word, but their hearts are just hard and they refuse to accept it. And these are the ones where Jesus says, when you pull the curtain back, Satan is actually snatching the word. There's a spiritual dynamic happening that we don't even see. And the devil is preventing people and working in concert with their own hard unbelief, causing the word not to do what the word could do in their life. But then he says, some people immediately receive it with joy, but there's no real root in their life. That's the rocky soil. They don't have any perspective. So it's a very emotional response to some kind of invitation without it having been thought through for its full implication into their life. And as soon as anything hard happens, they fall away because in reality, there was no root in the first place. There was no perspective about what this really means to accept the word of God into your life. And then there's the weedy soil that appears to accept it, but it's always choked out because it's never prioritized. The word isn't prioritized. Other things are more of a priority than the word of God. And then there's the good soil. That's the person who hears it, accepts it, receives it, applies it, and by contrast to the other soils, they have perspective about it, and they prioritize it, and so as a result, it produces fruit. So Jesus says, we play a part. Our reception of the word and the condition of our hearts plays a huge part as to what the word actually does in our lives. The ball's in our court with that one. John chapter 8, Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, right before this passage, Jesus has been presenting himself as the Son of God, and he says, anybody who believes in me will have eternal life. And then it says, many came to believe him. And so Jesus was saying to those who had believed him, there's a little play on words here. In the Greek language, there's a little preposition that sounds like frozen water, ice. It's epsilon, iota, sigma. But that preposition means into. It's moving into. So in John's gospel, when someone truly believed and was saved, it says they believed into him with that preposition, ice. This passage, Jesus was speaking to those who believed him. They heard his message, made sense to them. They gave an intellectual nod towards it. So speaking to those people, he said, if you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples. Just believing that Jesus was an historical figure, or even theologically believing that Jesus was the Son of God, or even calling yourself a Christian doesn't actually mean you're a real disciple of Jesus. Well, how do you know if you're a real disciple of Jesus? You abide in his word. That's what Jesus said. And if you do abide in his word, that is, if you live in it, receive it, continue in it, walk in it, depend upon it, if you do that, he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't need a show of hands here, but do you want to be free today? Do you want to really experience freedom? Spiritually and emotionally, relationally, psychologically, just in every way be free? It's the truth that sets you free. Well, where do you find the truth? In the Word of God. How do you access the Word of God in such a way that its truth actually makes you free? You abide in it. You abide in it. Is this making sense? I'm just walking through some scriptures here. All right? I'm just trying to create a context for this very simple spiritual habit that roots us in Christ, which is reading God's word daily. So now I'm just trying to give you a biblical perspective on as to why this makes so much sense. John chapter 15. Jesus is in this chapter, John 15, saying he's the vine, where the branches, the key to a fruitful life is to be a branch that really is abiding in the vine, really connected to the vine, dependent upon the vine, trusting and receiving from the vine all the spiritual resources. Branches that are really connected to the vine, well, they bear fruit. So Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father's glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So this abiding relationship is the key to fruitfulness in the Christian life. If we're really abiding in Jesus, there's going to be spiritual fruit produced in our life. And Jesus says this abiding relationship has multi dimensions. There's a sense in which we are really abiding in him, but also we're letting his word abide in us. See, if we're trying to abide in Jesus, but we're not letting his word abide in us, we're going to be shooting ourselves in the foot all the time. The abiding connection to Jesus is nurtured, established, and becomes fruitful as we let the word abide in us. We receive it into our lives. We read it for ourselves. We think about it. We meditate on it. We put it into practice. And the results of that are we can pray with confidence, expecting God to hear and answer our prayers. We bring God glory, and we demonstrate to anybody who's looking at us that we're real Christians. We're true disciples. First Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's talking about the ministry that he had at Thessalonica, or Thessaloniki, if you were saying it today. And he says, and we know from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, he was there for about a month. And during that time, it says that he spoke regularly in the synagogue, and he taught from the scriptures, and he demonstrated that Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead, and he persuaded people to believe. And now he's writing kind of a follow-up letter. So a lot of people believed, a church was started, and now Paul is writing back to them about, hey, this is what happened while I was there. And then he gives them, for chapters 1 and 2 is kind of like, this is what happened while I was with you. And then chapters 3 and 4 and 5 are about, and here's kind of how you need to be growing as new followers of Christ. So he says, when I was with you and I gave you the word of God, you accepted it. And you accepted it not just as the word of men, not just Paul giving you an inspirational message, not just Paul speaking out of his wisdom and background and experience, but you accepted it as what it really is, the word of God. And because you accepted it for what it really is, the word of God, you know what it did? It did a work in you. That's why two people can hear a message from scripture and one be unfazed and the other be transformed, because one just hears it as a message from some dude up on a platform, and the other person receives it as the word of God, and because they receive it as the word of God, it internally transforms them. Because there is inherent power in the word of God to change our lives. Jesus, in another kingdom parable, says the farmer goes out and sows the seed. He gets up in the morning and there's a crop, and it grew all by itself. Because there's an all by itself principle of God's word. It has the power to change our lives. That's why Hebrews 4 says, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's why Jesus said in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, when he prayed for us, Father, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. So the word has that power to change us and to sanctify us, but we've got to receive it for what it is, the word. Second Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So I want to get a little survey here of how many former Baptists we have in the crowd. How many were part of Awana at one time or another in your upbringing? Raise your hand really high. Be proud. Yeah, Awana, approved workmen are not ashamed. It's taken off of this verse, and it's a youth program in a lot of Baptist churches. I know that because I'm actually an ordained Baptist minister. I don't know if you knew that. I hope you still want to come back to Crossline after having heard that. But the first church I became the senior pastor of was Bethany Baptist Church, and I remember when they installed me as the senior pastor, they gave me this shirt that looked like a Boy Scout shirt, and they said, this is the Awana Commander's shirt, and we want you to wear it every Wednesday night. How many of you think I ever wore it once? No, I never wore it, but hey, that's okay. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Listen to this verse, because it has so much dynamic to this topic that we're talking about. We want to be rooted in Christ. How to be rooted? We got to read God's word daily. It needs to be a spiritual habit, discipline that transforms our life. It says, be diligent. That's the first thing. Before we even find out what it is that it's talking about, it says, we're to be diligent at it. That's attitude. That's commitment. That's a perspective on what it is we're about to do. We're going to be diligent at it. And what is it we're going to be diligent at? To present ourselves approved to God. That word approved is the Greek word dokimazo, means to pass the test. So we present ourselves to God with the confidence that we're going to pass the test that he's going to give on our lives. Think about that. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman, not a dabbler. You don't get called a workman unless you work. Yeah. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed. I got no shame on this because I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not saying something's true about my life that isn't true. There's integrity between what I'm presenting myself as and what I'm actually doing. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Accurately handling the word of truth. It's a translation of a rare verb in the New Testament. It is, you know I like words, right? What's one of my favorite words? Juxtaposition. Here's another word. I won't use it very often, but it's a word that describes this. Hapax legomena. Hapax legomena means a word that only appears once in the New Testament. So if you want to find out what it means, you got to go outside the New Testament because it's kind of like, well, I don't know what that word means. So you got to go to Greek culture to find out how the word was mean. The word that's translated handling accurately is a word that literally means cut it straight. Cut it straight. Little quiz here. Paul was a Pharisee, but he also had a trade that he supported himself with when he was a gospel minister. What was it? Tent making. As a tent maker, he would take skins or cloths and cut it straight because if you cut it all crooked, I know this because I took bachelor living in high school and had to make an apron. It's true. I learned how to use a sewing machine, how to follow a pattern. Hey. Come on. You got to cut it straight. He's using a term from tent making. He says, that's the way we are with the scripture. We cut it straight in the way we read it, the way we understand it, the way we apply it, the way we explain it to others. We cut it straight. That is what we are to be diligent to present ourselves to God, approved, without shame, as workmen, doing what? Cutting straight the word of God. That explanation wore me out. Let me just tell you. Whew! All right. James chapter 1. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten the kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. It says, clean out the weeds and rocks of your heart. That would stop the word from really doing what it's supposed to do. Receive the word implanted and actually be a doer of it, not just a hearer, but a doer, and you're going to be blessed. It's a direct promise from God. You want to be blessed? This is how you can be blessed. Get the junk out of your heart that would stop the word from bearing fruit. Receive the word. Do what it says. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Wow. You know, a lot of people get hung up on the book of Revelation. What does it mean? What's this symbol? What's this beast? What's the scroll? What's the vial? What are the various judgments? What's the timing? When's the millennium? All that stuff, which is important to understand, but the blessing is not in getting that right. You know what the blessing is in? Hearing it, reading it, doing what it says. Don't get hung up on what I'm about to say, but I really believe this is true. You could be misunderstanding the actual timing and structure and meaning of some of the symbols in the Revelation, but be faithfully reading, hearing, and doing what it says, and you'll be blessed. And somebody over here knows every intricacy of the meaning of each one of those symbols, but they're not hearing, reading, and obeying. They're not being blessed. The blessing is in hearing it, reading it, and doing what it says. One last verse. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Paul went from Thessalonica, went down to Berea. He started speaking, and the Bereans read their Bibles daily because they weren't just going to take Paul's word for it. They heard Paul's word. They heard it as the word of God, but they read the word of God for themselves daily. So all these scriptures are just kind of painting a framework for three simple things I want to say. This is it. First, God uses his word to bless us, transform our lives, and make us fruitful. God uses his word to bless us, transform our lives, and make us fruitful. That's where the blessing comes. So we can access this and get it into our lives. In fact, if you're here today and you don't have a Bible, we've got some Bibles around here. They're on the different shelves over there, or if there's some of them are underneath, please take it as our gift to you, because you're going to be blessed if you get into God's word. And I want you to be blessed. The pastors here at this church, we want you to be blessed. God uses his word. Secondly, we must receive the word of God into our lives and read it for ourselves. You got to receive it into your lives. You got to read it and study it for yourselves. I wish it worked like this. I go to sleep at night, I put the Bible underneath my pillow, and I just sleep, and I wake up blessed. It doesn't happen. You got to dig into it for yourself. You got to read it for yourself. You got to study it for yourself. And part of that, James and 1 Peter 2 also tell us there's a process of getting out the junk that would cause the word not to do what it's supposed to do. This is one of the great things, by the way, in the parable of the four soils. While it may be true that soil at any given time is of a certain condition, hard soil, rocky soil, weedy soil, good soil, it's possible to take hard soil and turn it into good soil. You dig it up. You break it down. You till it. It's possible to turn rocky soil into good soil. Get the rocks out. It's possible to turn weedy soil into good soil. Pull all the weeds. So James and Peter tells us, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. You can ask God to help you get a good heart. And you can make choices to get the stuff out of your heart that would stop and stifle the word from doing its work, so that you're actually good soil to receive the word. And by the word, you don't just receive it once, you cultivate a habit of receiving it. Let's suppose I want to get in shape, and I decide to go out. I've not worked out ever before in my life, and I just go to the gym and work out 3 hours straight, really hard. How do I feel afterwards? But if I cultivate a lifestyle of exercise, regular exercise, over time, it produces results. And in fact, in maybe some of you experience this, it to say that it's a discipline isn't even accurate, because you actually look forward to it and you actually feel better afterwards. It releases all those endorphins. So it's not just a discipline, it's a delight. And that's the way it is with God's word. It may start off as a discipline, but becomes a delight. I will tell you without a doubt, the favorite part of any day I have is the time I spend reading God's word. Now, I also have my little cup of coffee, which I love. And I have my little quiet space, which I love. And I have my view out over into the trees and in the garden of my yard, which I really love. But spending time in the word, hearing God, writing down observations, praying to God, getting my heart refreshed, getting my mind renewed, it's the best part of my day. It's not just a discipline, it's a delight. But we got to receive the Word of God into our lives for ourselves. And lastly, number three, daily reading the Word of God is a spiritual discipline we can choose in order to become rooted in Christ. You can make this choice. Every person here can make this choice to daily spend time reading the Word. Now, should every one of us activate and apply this the exact same way? No, I don't think so. My first real job, where I actually clocked in, clocked out, had to be interviewed, got hired, worked at it regularly, had regular hours, yada, 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 was a fitness instructor for Jack LaLanne's European Health Spa. Now, Jack LaLanne used to be on TV, and he did all these exercises, and he was like an old dude that was in great shape, and he was the first to really launch these exercise gyms, which are all over now. Just the other day, we were riding back. We don't live in Ladera, but we were riding through to Ladera. Do you know how many exercise gyms there are in Ladera Ranch? Over in that one little strip mall has like six gyms right next to each other. We are in a culture of exercise here where we live here in Southern California. It's an interesting dynamic. Well, people would come in and I would do an assessment and then design a workout plan for them based upon where they were in their own physical fitness at that time and what their goals were in terms of what they wanted to become. And I designed different workout plans for different people. So some of us here, we've never read the Bible before, and so there's a certain plan for us that will maximize where we are. And some of us, we've been studying and abiding in God's Word for years. And there's also a plan and workout plan for us to get the most out of spending time with God, reading His Word. So let me give you some very practical things. You might want to write these down. If you've never read the Bible before as a disciplined habit, it's never become something that you've ever done, that's okay. Thank you for being here. This is a safe place to hear a life-changing message. Here's your application. Read the Gospel of John. 21 chapters in John's Gospel. Just take one chapter a day for the next 21 days. In 3 weeks, you'll have read through the Gospel of John. When you get to heaven, John will say, "Thank you for reading my book." The mind's a steel trap. They just come here and, you know, sometimes I filter them out, sometimes they get communicated. So it's just a great exercise. It's a great place to start. Read the Gospel of John. If you've already been growing in your faith in some degree, you've read through the Gospel of John, but you wouldn't say that reading the Bible is a daily regular habit. Read through the New Testament. Start in Matthew and just work your way. Do what I did when I was a brand new Christian. Just read through the New Testament. Take one chapter a day. You can read through a chapter in the New Testament, most of them, in about 10 minutes. So again, this is accessible for us. This is something we can do. Busy people, very busy people, people have to get up very early to work, we can do this. So if you've never read the Bible before at all, read through the Gospel of John. If you have read parts of the Bible, or maybe you have, at one time you were more disciplined than another time, but right now you'd say, "I'm not really on a regular reading plan, reading through the Bible." Start Matthew chapter 1, read through the New Testament. If you have read through the New Testament, read through the Old Testament. If you are, you feel like, "I've kind of done that. I could say that I've read through the New Testament. I've read through the Bible before, and a lot of you have." Here's a suggestion. Read through the Gospels. Take three chapters a day. Read through the Gospels. You do it in 3 months. Just simple math. The number of chapters. You read three chapters a day, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll read through the Gospels in 90 days. Or another option is take the book of Proverbs. 31 Proverbs, read a proverb a day. Or take the book of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. You read 5 Psalms a day, you can read it through in a month. There's multiple reading options depending upon where you are in your own spiritual journey and up to this point, what experience you've had in reading through the Bible. A great resource, which many of you have, is the Bible app. If you don't, you can download it onto your phone, the Bible app. And so you can have the scriptures on your phone. Many of you have that already. Maybe many of you, that's how you read. But there is reading plans. There's one of the icons you can click on the Bible app that actually gives you reading plans. Some of them I've suggested to you. And there's others that maybe focus on a book or focus on a doctrine or focus on a character quality or focus on a biography. Just different reading plans that you can follow to dig deeper into the Word. Now, again, this is if you've already read through the Gospel of John, you read through the New Testament, you read through the Old Testament, and now I want to do something else. There are various reading plans on the Bible app. Another resource is the Bible Recap. Bible Recap is a podcast. It's also a website that is tremendous because it gives you a little 7-minute synopsis, has you reading through the Bible in a year, and then a 7-minute synopsis of what you read. So you get a kind of an overview and a take and a personal application with insights, even from the book of Leviticus. I mean, seriously. Practical applications right there. So it's a great resource. See, it's accessible. It is accessible to every one of us to get into God's Word. Now, some of you might ask me, okay, which version of the Bible should I read? Because you've mentioned a couple different versions. You quote from versions sometimes. Which version should I read? And I got a very simple answer. You ready? The one you'll actually read, that's the one you ought to read. So if you'll actually read the New American Standard, read the New American Standard. If you'll actually read the New International Version, read the New International Version. If you'll actually read the English Standard Version, read the English Standard Version. If you'll actually read the New Living Bible, read the New Living Bible. If you actually read the Living Bible, read the Living Bible. If you'll actually read the Holman Standard Version, read the Holman Standard Version. And even if thou readest the Kingest James Version, read it. We want to be rooted in Christ because when we're rooted in Christ, then God blesses our life. We're established. He builds us up. We live an overflowing life. But to be rooted in Christ, we have to practice the spiritual habits and disciplines that really connect us to Christ. And the first spiritual habit and discipline that connects us to Christ is reading God's Word daily. Father, I pray that you would bless Crossline Community Church and every member and every guest and every person who's hearing this message to seek Jesus first in our life, to be rooted into Jesus, to read your word and do what it says. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.